What is going down, everybody? Welcome back to another brand new Am I Still on the Air? Yes, we are still on the air, and we are back 2022 style, man. Happy New Year. We're so happy to be here with you guys for a very special episode. One of my favorite episodes that we do all year round. It's become a tradition here on Am I Still on the Air that at the beginning of a new year, we take some time to reflect on the previous year and then obviously look forward to the new year that is upon us. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is our annual top 10 movies of 2021 and our top 10 most anticipated of 2022. So, man, I'm stoked. I'm so happy to be here with you guys. My name is Don Mega. I am your host, and welcome to the show. And as always, you know, I don't come alone. When we do an episode like this, this gigantic, this exciting, the celebrations we have, we got to assemble the team, man. So we are back once again. Friggins, peeps in the house. What's up, y'all?
DX Don Mega. Thanks for having us.
Mega. Yes, thanks for having us. And to all the Red Dragons Radio's listeners out there, I say good evening, good morning, good afternoon, or just good time zone to you. And thanks for listening to us.
Ooh.
Oh,
that was so sleek.
That was kind of fancy there, friggin'
good, nice. Time zone, see y'all. That's something new and fresh.
You know, trying to keep it, you know, you never know when they're listening. So, you know, just trying to keep it neutral.
All over the world. We missed a worldwide up in this bitch. Just broadcasting all over the world. So welcome, everybody, no matter where you come from. But guys, man, I don't know about y'all, but this truly is one of my favorite episodes to do. I look so forward to getting together and kind of hearing these countdowns, seeing what resonated with people, what didn't resonate with people, the shocks and the agreements and just everything in between.
And to get the fuck out of here.
Hell yeah, man. You know it's coming. I can't wait till Fred goes and then get the fuck out of here.
If I don't get one get the fuck out of here per episode that we do this, I feel like I failed.
Yeah, so. I feel like you like strive for that though. That's the thing.
I
kind of do.
I think I might have maybe one for sure. Possibly two. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait because I know Fred's gonna have the snubby kind of actors list with great choreography and cinematography,
right?
Awesome lighting. And then Peeps is going to be very heavily child ranked with a lot of kid movies. And then I will have all the popcorn flicks. So, you know how it goes. This is how we roll. But I can't wait to see. 2021 was an interesting year. I mean, we had kind of half the year where movies still weren't coming out and things were delayed and a lot of things were going straight to home video. And then theaters started to open and we started to get kind of back into a groove. But, you know, a big mix of some streaming movies and theater movies. And, you know, when I started to put my top 10 together, I was a little underwhelmed, to be honest. I was looking at my list. And even though I have a lot of honorable mentions, it's not that, like, they're movies I liked, but I didn't feel like there was a ton this year that I loved. And so even into my top 10, I was kind of like, wow, that movie made it because it just wasn't anything else better.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not that they're bad movies, but just, I don't know. Most years, you know, it's very hard to put together a top 10 list because there's so much. And that's where looking forward to this year, 2022, that was a very hard list to make because there's a ton of stuff coming out in 2022. So that one had me kind of shuffling and trying to figure it all out. But 2021, I just thought like, okay, we got some movies here, and there are some standouts when you get kind of into that top five, but the overall top 10, I did feel a little underwhelmed, so I don't know what your guys' thoughts.
No, I'm right there with you. Like, there are moments where I was super excited for a movie that wasn't even on my anticipated list, and then I watched it, and I'm like, just right off the bat, I'm like, that's not even going to make my top 10 this year. Dang. And I was super excited about the movie. Like, I don't know. And I maybe it's just the trailers. Like, they knew they just needed to get people to theater. So they might have made the trailers a little bit more appealing than what the actual movie was. I don't know. But yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't get that many
bangers,
super killers.
Well, I actually am going to be on the opposite side of you guys because well,
there's a lot of snubby films.
There so was sure so many are. Snubby films, and actually, I'm disappointed that I didn't get to catch all the snubbies. The
Writers
that I
Guild
to.
Award goes to
seriously. I think half the movies on my list would never even have made an anticipated list, and I found them so shockingly refreshing, so shockingly good. So this, for me, ended up being quite a surprising year where all the films I was expecting to be amazing ended up being duds. But all the films that I was, you know, either not expecting or didn't know anything about ended up really shocking me and surprising me. So I had the exact opposite reaction of you guys.
All right. All right.
Thunder Force is number one on this list.
I Thunder know Force, baby.
Thunder Force.
Do you guys agree with 2022 though? Did you feel like, man, this is a pretty good list here coming out. Like did y'all struggle with 2022 or did you feel like it kind of slid in pretty easy?
I'll let you go, freaking.
I struggled to kind of rank everything because there was kind of a lot. You know, when it comes to anticipation list, it's like, you know, the things that make your list are the things you know the right. names of, and the, right. the things you don't know names of, you'd need a trailer. for me, there was plenty of names that I was excited for, and a couple trailers have dropped for a couple of them. So, my struggle for this year's 22 for the 2022 was not trying to fill 10, but rather trying to, you know, which ones are going to make the cut.
Yeah,
nice.
That's what was hard. Yeah, it was definitely making the cut for sure. Like from, I kind of rearranged quite a bit.
and I definitely agree. But like what I noticed from 2022 is like this is like another one of the year of sequels, right? And yes, most of these true. Movies, it's difficult because I'm like, am I basing it off of the first movie? Do I need to like check to see, like, are we getting the same producers and directors? You know what I mean? Like, am I going to get that same feeling that I had from the first movie? Or is just the name T'Challa like enough to get me so excited for a movie that I'm going to put it above everything else? So right. I really wanted to get some, and I do, I actually have one, you know, original film on my 2022 list that I'm actually, thanks to a trailer, pretty excited about. But outside of that, like, it's hard. Like,
yeah.
am I going to pick a movie I haven't even heard of called like I don't know, like Rubber Peanuts over like Black Adam or Doctor Strange 2? Like, no,
right.
But once I see the Rubber Peanuts thing. Trailer, you know,
yeah, that's the fun thing about anticipated is just we don't know, right? Like, we're just exactly. guessing. You know, and it's true because a lot of these movies we don't even have a trailer for. I mean, I got a couple, I think, on my honorable mentions that don't even have a poster, you know, so it's just kind of like you're really just kind of going off a premise. You're going off a movie star, you know, and you're just thinking like this kind of sounds like something I'm going to dig.
Yeah.
So that's what that's the hope. And then you see how it kind of pans out. I mean, that's what's always funny looking back on our list from previous years and being like, well, that one didn't hit the way I thought it would or whatever the case may be. So, all right, guys. Well, without further ado, I want to start with honorable mentions. So, you know, with any year there, you know, there's only 10 spaces to hit. And so, you know, a year is chock full of a lot of movies. And I've seen a lot of movies in 2021. And there was a good handful that I wanted to at least shout out and give a little bit of love to. Didn't quite crack the top 10, but these were, you know, some 4-star movies that were on my list that I really, really enjoyed. So I want to kind of go around the horn and break down some honorable mentions. And before we actually jump right into our top 10 tonight. So I'm going to get going here with this one. My first one, and this one right here was actually in my top 10 at one point and then kind of shuffled around and fell down to the honorable mentions, but it's the movie Nobody that came out earlier this year, where basically it's a John Wick kind of spinoff almost, you know, mild-mannered dad and gets pushed past his limits. And you find out he used to be this badass CIA guy and he kicks some ass. And I really loved it. It was a fun time at the movie theaters. Came out in the earlier part of the year, but man, it just Bob Odenkirk really just, I remember when they put this movie together and I read Bob Odenkirk in an action movie from the John Wick guys. And I'm like, that sounds stupid as hell, like Bob Odenkirk. And but man, he blew me away. He was so good in this, and Nobody was a really, really fun film. So that one cracks the honorable mentions. The next one is a little other action movie that I had honestly thought looked like it was going to go straight to VOD, but it came out in theaters. Checked it out. The Protégé. I actually really, really dug The Protégé this year with Samuel Jackson and Michael Keaton, and of course, oh man, I'm spacing her name now.
Maggie Q.
Maggie Q. Thank you. How the hell? but I love Maggie Q, so no disrespect. But yeah, she's great, and this movie surprised the hell out of me. Fun little action movie, cracks it. Don't Breathe 2. I love the original Don't Breathe, and I was like, man, they're doing a sequel to this. How are they going to pull it off? They did, and they actually made it unique and not just repeat what the first movie did. It was a tense thriller, and I really, really enjoyed it. So Don't Breathe 2 makes the list. Jungle Cruise. I love The Rock. This was a fun movie for the whole family to kind of go sit back, very reminiscent of The Mummy, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, just that fun family adventure kind of film. The Rock, Emily Blunt killed it. So Jungle Cruise makes the list. Fast 9. I'm a big fan of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Whoa, this was another
fun one, and cracks the honorable mentions there.
Ah, so that's a shocker. Huge. That's big.
You thought it would make the top 10?
It always does.
It doesn't it?
No, true. It should have, but with everything else, it fell out. The next up is A Quiet Place 2. This was another one that this was kind of when theaters started to really kind of open back up, and it was fun to be back in theaters and see the screams and to see people jump in their seats. And I love the first Quiet Place, and this one I thought was even better. So Quiet Place 2 was one of the solid standouts for me. Next up is Wrath of Man. This is a Guy Ritchie action film with Jason Statham. Man, I was surprised by this one. Great action. Just a really fun movie, man. Jason Statham kicks major ass in this. Big standout for me, Wrath of Man. I know Peeps is going to appreciate this next one. It's The Mitchells versus the Machines. Love this one, too. I'm not big on animated films, as you guys know. They actually usually never make my list either. But this is a hard one to deny. My daughter loves this one. She's watched it probably a dozen times. It's fun. It's from Lord and Miller, who have done so much good stuff. This one's just a really fun animated flick that you can watch on Netflix. Godzilla versus Kong, another just big budget, knock 'em, sock 'em. Just, I love it. It was a great, great sequel. Boss Level. This is another one that just really shocked me. It was a Hulu exclusive film, with Mel Gibson and Frank Grillo. It's kind of a, you know, day repeats kind of thing. He keeps getting killed and he's trying to figure out a way to not die. And it's directed by Joe Carnahan, and it's just a badass action movie. If you haven't seen it, check out Boss Level on Hulu. One that really shocked me, came out on Netflix, was I Care a Lot. This movie, man, was just super trippy. About it, this lady that just takes advantage of these old people and steals their money and steals their things, and the revenge that comes her way. And it was a shocker to me, and I had a great time watching this one. And lastly, shout out to my man The Rock. Red Notice, man, came right outside for me. The Rock, Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot. Awesome little action movie just came out in November, Netflix original. And, this was a really fun ride for me as well, with great stars that I love. So, that's my honorable mentions, wrapping through there, that kind of, accumulated, like I said, that 4-star kind of, scale for me, when I look back on the year. So, Friggins, I'll pass it over to you, man. What you got honorable mentions wise?
Well, before I kind of dig into the few that I put together, I wanted to make a couple comments on the ones that you put together, because they kind of also, and some of them, made my list as well. So I thoroughly enjoyed Wrath of Man. I thought that was a good Guy Ritchie. Sometimes you get bad Guy Ritchie.
Exactly.
So, so it's kind of, you don't. It's a crapshoot. And adding the Jason Statham effect is always a bonus for that. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun as well. You were preaching on Boss level, and I was doubting, and I ended up watching it one day. I was like flipping through the channels and I on Amazon or something, whatever it is, and I was like, oh, let me check that out. Dude, you were so right on that one. It was so much fun. I was it was literally in my top 10 for a while.
Yes, you thought it might have made it for a minute. Yep.
I did too, but we came strong at the end of the year here. But you know, so I wanted to reference that. And then I can't go without mentioning a few that you had on there that I'm just like, what? Like Jungle Cruise. I was like, no, other than the Rock dad jokes, I struggled with that one.
It was fun. It was
almost fun. Turned exactly. It off. And then
Heart. Fred doesn't heart.
He doesn't. Heart. Yeah.
Everyone hyped up Nobody. I was expecting to love this movie. I was like going into it thinking it was going to be on my top 10. And unfortunately, it was a little disappointing for me.
So what? You didn't like Nobody?
Did
oh,
not.
Man. Like, no, that's crazy.
Meh. But with that, yeah. I did want to reference a few of the ones that did make my honorable mentions. And I'm going to also mention The Protégé. I forgot you had mentioned that as well. That was on the top 10 literally until like, I mean, just recently. There was... it was so much fun. A lot of cool action. Just a good time. Michael Keaton was great. Of course, Maggie Q was always great. So good stuff there. I also had No Time to Die was on my honorable mentions list because I thought it was a great closure to the Daniel Craig series. And, you know, I know he's getting up there, so they want to move on to bigger and brighter things, apparently. So we'll see. But I thought it was fun. While be it a little bit long, it still ended up being a fun, good watch. Another honorable mention I wanted to shout out, which was one of those shocker ones, was Willy's Wonderland. Crazy Nick Cage movie. This thing is bonkers. And granted, like when I rated it, I had to give it a little bit of a low score because there's just so many bad things about it. But it's one of those ones where the bad is so good and it was just really fun to watch. So even though my score, if you look through my letterbox and see, oh, you only gave it like 2.5 or whatever, like it's still a top tier movie. It was really, really fun.
It's pretty self-aware though. Like it knows it's bad, which is why I think I'm a little bit more forgiving. It's one thing if they're like legitimately trying, like, oh, we're really trying to make a good scary movie, but like it knows.
While I was watching, I just kept thinking he's having so much fun. It looked like he was having fun. But anyway, moving on. This one's probably going to piss you guys off, I think, and probably piss off a lot of listeners. But one movie that made my honorable mentions list that just today got knocked out of the top 10 was Dune. Movie,
I'm shocked.
It was so good. I had so much fun watching it. It was one of those that you have to see in the theater. Just the experience of seeing it on the big screen was great. But it just got nudged out just barely. And one last honorable mention that I'll reference here before passing on to Peeps is
that you'll mention.
I know honorable mention that I'll mention is a documentary film called The Alpinist. I am a rock climber. I enjoy rock climbing. It's fun for me. So I love these documentaries, but this one, as it started, I was like, okay, I've seen this documentary 1,000 times because it's almost the exact same as a couple others, but it takes some twists and it's very, very good and has some different emotional feelings that I hadn't had in these types of documentaries before. Very, very well done. You see some beautiful shots of some crazy ass dude hanging off the side of a mountain with no rope and it's ridiculous, but so, so good. And you know, pulls on the heartstrings. So that's my honorable mentions list.
Sweet. All right. Some good ones on there. I never even heard of the rock climbing documentary. So something new for everybody out there. All right, Peeps. Let's reflect on me and Friggins here. What you got? Do you got anything that matches? And then take it away with anything you got.
Unfortunately, like the past 2-3.
Oh, no.
am I still on the airs? I think I probably saw maybe half the movies that you guys saw. So yeah, it sucks. But in terms of honorable mentions, I definitely agree with your Red Notice pick. It was fun. It was fun. As much as it sounded like I bashed that movie on my episode, it overall, like, it was super fun. It was super funny. I loved Ryan Reynolds' little fourth wall breaking moment. So it that movie was definitely dope. And I also agree with your Jungle Cruise. Movies, I guess, that you didn't mention, I'm not sure if you guys actually saw, but gosh, what is the full name of the movie? But the Barb and Star?
Yes, Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar.
Yeah, like that.
Oh, wow.
It's not
funny, like, movie.
A
funny
top
movie.
10, but it is funny.
Yes, I agree. It's very funny.
Also, The Last Night in Soho. It was one of those movies that I was
still super, see that.
Super looking forward to. Great. And I was thinking it was going to be on my top 10, but for reasons, it did not quite make it. But I will definitely recognize the art that was that movie. Really dope. And also Ghostbusters.
Okay.
You know, a lot of fun. Almost made mine, but
I didn't
had some issues, but
it.
was still fun.
Fun.
And I appreciate all the the heartstrings they attempted. Yeah, nostalgia that they, you know, were attempting to tug on. So yeah. But outside of that, our Mortal Kombat. That's my last one.
okay.
All right.
The most streamed movie day and date on HBO Max in 2021, by the way.
Oh, did not know.
Yeah. Of all the movies that went day and date on HBO Max, Mortal Kombat was the biggest streamed one.
That's probably
makes
my
sense. It was like the first one too to come out, wasn't it?
No. It was one of the earlier ones because it came out in April. So there was a couple movies before it. But that's for the whole year. So even everything after the fact didn't.
I gotcha.
You know,
it's probably my fault more than Dune. I kept watching it over and over and over.
It's streamed more than Dune because Dune's like twice the
yeah,
the
no, time it's like of 5 million movie. Hours. Oh, God, so long. No, sorry.
Wake up.
Spoiler alert, Dune is not on my list.
Oh, wow.
It's not on mine either.
Interesting. I thought it would be on yours. It didn't make mine either. So
I didn't see it.
Waiting for part two, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
Exactly. He wants spoiler, to binge them
great.
Together.
Now I know they're leading into a part two. Jeez.
Oh, well, if you listen to Red Dragons, am I still on the
air? Right.
Am I on the air? There you go. Geez, you listen to
Am I on the Air? You wouldn't know they got greenlit right away. All right. Cool. Well, those are the honorable mentions. So we're going to jump into our top 10 now. And basically, we're each going to do our 10 through 6 to kick it off. And then we'll kind of circle back around and see where the cards may fall. So we'll actually roll in a little bit of reverse this time. I'll start back with Peeps and give us your 10 through 6 of your top 10 2021.
Well, then let's do this. Now, apologies again. I have lots of movies on my list that I have not seen yet. I mean, Don't Breathe, Nobody, In the Heights, The Fear Streets. Really looking forward to those. Boss Level, Hitman's Bodyguard, Judas and the Black Messiah, Pig, Paper Tigers, the Sparks Brothers documentary, Tomorrow War. Lots of movies I missed, but I'm pretty happy with my top 10. So let's jump into this bad mamma jamma. Number 10 is one of the movies that we had in Am I Still on the Air? Even when I did my own review about it, it might have sounded like I hated it. But all in all, like I do appreciate the what they ended up giving us for this movie, and that is The Eternals. I think if The Eternals was its own movie that wasn't connected to anything Marvel, if it was just a superhero-ish movie, I think it would have been great. But it just had issues because of the connections to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It falls short in a lot of different areas, and it creates more questions, I think, than actual answers that they're trying to give us. But at the same time, like I said, everything else about this movie in terms of acting and special effects and moments and scenes and tensions that build up throughout the movie, it is a good movie. And I definitely, I'm really looking forward to it popping up on Disney Plus here in like, what, a week? I think of the 12th, I think, is when 12th. It pops up. So for those of you that haven't seen it, I definitely recommend Disney Plus on the 12th of January. And and it's one of those movies, right? Like Marvel, like 27 movies so far. And if you want to enjoy it, you have to watch all of these. Like, I don't even feel like you really have to watch any of the movies to enjoy Eternals.
I agree.
You can just jump in, watch it, and if you want to continue from there and watch more of the movies, like, hey, you got Eternals out of the way, so you're good. So, yeah, that would be my number 10. I'm not sure. Do I want to go around and check to see if it's on any of your guys'?
No, because I don't want to interrupt the flow of the countdown. Right. Everybody can speak to their list. So continue, my friend.
I dig it. Well, my number 9 was one of your honorable mentions, and that was The Protégé. I really enjoyed this movie because, though it had that same format of, you know, you're a hardcore spy, and then things start going wrong and you don't know who to trust. It's the Mission Impossible basically story. And though you feel like you can call and you know what's going to happen, I think they do a really good job at adding some twists and turns that actually make sense to the story. That, you know, you don't really expect at the end, which I appreciate. And I love the ending of this movie. And again, the movie's been out for a while, but for those of you that haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it, but the ending of the movie is just like, whoa. And then something happens. You're like, whoa. Yeah. It's really good. It was really fun. And I haven't seen Maggie Q in a while. And to, you know, when she, you know, to see her back in action, literally, it was great. And Samuel L. Jackson and everything he does. And this movie overall, it was a lot of fun, a lot of great action, a lot of great humor. And the dynamic between her and Michael Keaton was just so good. Like, their chemistry was, and it, maybe it's just, I don't know, they're both really good actors, and the two of them just did an amazing job together. Like, very fun, very great. I highly recommend The Protégé.
Yeah, she's been doing a lot of horror movies as of late over the last couple of years. So it was good to see her get back to some action because she's so badass.
Super, I agree. Badass. Totally. And like, it's crazy, right? Like, whenever we see like a great action star, like the first thing we say is like, all right, how are we going to get them in the MCU and who are they going to play?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that, all right, I could see an Elektra in her.
That'd be great.
That would be cool.
Yeah. My number's 8. Is a controversial movie that I'm pretty sure I might get the first GTF out of here, but that is Malignant. It's my number 8.
Oh no, okay, that's fine. No, I like Malignant. Okay, I like Malignant.
Man, people like,
have some people hate
this movie, and I get it, but I don't get it. Like, yes, the twist in the movie kind of literally flips the movie upside down, and it turns into a whole new movie after that. I get it. That's fine. You're expecting movie X, and then the end of the movie, you get movie Y, and then you're just like, why? So that's fine. But at the same time, like, this is an original movie, an original concept that I wouldn't have even considered. And the twist and even what happens was I'm just cracking up and laughing. I know maybe that was the reaction I was supposed to have. Maybe it wasn't.
I don't know, in a horror movie, you're supposed to be
that's what I'm laughing. Saying. But I am like having such a good time watching this. And I'm like, I love this. I love what's happening right now. So
I like that it had like Sam Raimi, like Evil Dead kind of vibes. Like it just had that old school 80s kind of horror, which I loved.
Right. And it wasn't too much like special effects. Like, there was all
pretty practical.
Yeah, they did a good job with that. And the worst thing about that entire movie, though, is when she parks so close to the edge. I was like, who parks close to the edge like that? Nobody.
I understand, friggin'. Like, that was definitely a standout moment. Like, who and why would anyone ever do this?
Exactly.
Like, I was like, what? Like, this moment, like, you're just foreshadowing your death right now. Is what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was a good moment. But yeah, man, like, just a weird, wacky duty James Wan, you know, film. And you guys, anyone that hasn't seen it, I recommend Malignant. Please check it out. It is a ride, I will say that. So that's my number 8. Number 7, getting to, is a movie that I've been looking forward to for a long time. It was on my most anticipated for the year prior. It was my number 3 most anticipated, but that is Godzilla versus King Kong. This was a nostalgia moment for me. The moment when the two of them at the end of the movie actually are fighting. Kong and Godzilla are actually fighting each other. And then, you know, then the other big bad kaiju pops up and the three of them are fighting. Like, I'm not kidding. I had tears of joy. Not, they weren't running down my face, but like, I was so freaking happy. Like, the kid just jumped out and took over my body for a moment. That's like, awesome. I have loved these two characters incredibly as a child. I have pictures of birthday cakes with Peeps and these two, or one of these two characters on his birthday cake. And I, to see them come together in the way that they did, with the effects that they did, and the, it was great. Oh, I will say, it's not a good movie, but you're there to see two things. Or you're there to see one thing, right? Kong versus Godzilla, and you get that multiple times, and I enjoyed it so much. I had a very fun time with this one. So yes, Kong versus God is my number 7. Number 6 is another movie that you guys may question. It didn't even make your guys' honorable mentions, so I know it's not in your top 10. My number 6 is Cruella.
Oh, God. Oh, nice. That was good though.
Eh.
I liked it.
It was fine.
I wasn't
expecting to like it. I thought it was just going to be like, meh, whatever. Great. Disney's just doing, you're creating another character. It's another Maleficent type of thing, which I did not like. But I ended up really enjoying it, to the point to where they kind of teased us for a sequel a little bit at the end. And I'm like, come on back, Emma Stone. Let me see you do this again. I really like Emma Stone. I like that they turned the classic villain into more of a just an opportunist. And, you know, she wasn't evil and she didn't even hate dogs like she did in the original cartoon. She just it was quite the opposite. Like, she actually had dogs. And I don't know. They changed the character. It turned into a heist movie, which I thought Friggins would like.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was cool.
And I wasn't expecting a Cruella de Vil movie to become a heist film with twists and turns of, this is actually the one who killed your father. This is actually your mother. Whatever. It was great. I wasn't expecting it. And it wasn't even on my radar. And I think for that, I enjoyed it just so much more. So yes, Cruella, very fun, very funny. Lots of twists, lots of turns, great effects when there was effects. And I'm looking forward to another if they do it.
They are doing it. So there you nice. Go.
So that's my 10 through 6, guys.
All right. Well done. Interesting, interesting. Not too bad. No, get the fuck out of here yet. But Fred is up next. Let's get ready to rumble. Well. So, Friggins. What you got?
What you got right. for us, Friggins?
All right, I'm rubbing my hands.
He's
together.
Rubbing the hands. Doing this
already. Here we go.
All right. Okay.
So my number.
He didn't even. He's been looking forward to Snake Eyes for so long, and it didn't make his.
It didn't. It was didn't on
make
my,
his anticipate or his.
I know. Remember how much he loved just that picture of him walking up the steps?
Yeah, man. It was Snake Eyes. Like,
best movie of the year just from that picture.
Guys, that movie was still fun. It was not a G.I. Joe movie. I just pretend it was its own story. I had a good time with it. But at the end of the day.
5 seconds of the end of the movie when he put the suit on. Yep.
At the end of the day, it was. Just okay, and it didn't make my list, so sorry. But an unexpected addition to my list was number 10, In the Heights. I love musicals. They're super fun for me, and I seem to be in this like a musical renaissance for myself where I'm liking them more and more and more and looking forward to them more. I'm like seeking out more of them. And this one just had so much energy and it was so much fun. I had a blast with it. Cool songs, cool cast, cool dancing. I thought the choreography was fantastic. It's just all around fun time. So
good movie.
That's my number 10.
I'm curious. Did you see the Cyrano?
Oh, dude, I cannot wait for that one. Yes, I just saw the trailer for it. And I am very much looking forward to that
one. Okay. Me too.
Yes. Cannot wait. So number nine, this is where I'm not sure if it's going to be a GTFO or not.
already. Oh boy.
Yep. And this film, actually, I think I'm all right. I left the rom-coms off. Like, I watched The Hating Game tonight and I really enjoyed it, but it didn't make the top 10. But I watched this today, actually, earlier in the day before we filmed this episode, and not expecting much. And I freaking loved it. It's called Come On, Come On. It's got Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know the little boy's name in it, but it just was incredibly captivating for me. It's filmed in black and white. It's filmed by a studio called A20. I knew you were gonna be out.
A24 too. I'm out.
Everything I'm about to say, Don, is out. It's black and white. It's A24. Yeah. It's extremely slow. It's a bunch of talking. Not a whole lot happens, but oh my goodness, it is just it. I couldn't stop watching. Like, it was so interesting to see this relationship between Joaquin Phoenix, who's playing this boy's uncle, and he's taking care of this kid where he doesn't really have much to do with kids. He doesn't have his own kids. He doesn't know how to deal with them. And it's so good.
It doesn't even sound like a Friggins movie. I'm shocked.
I did not expect to like it as much as I did. I thought I was going to like it, but definitely not top 10 worthy, especially to kick out stuff like Dune and The Protégé and James Bond, those kind of classic type of, Friggins-y things. But I have a huge appreciation for a personal story, something that is like down to earth, grounded, not, end of the world kind of thing. I look back to Peanut Butter Falcon being like, my number two movie of the year at the time. It's stuff like that, where it's just this like little personal story and it's really about the people. And they also add this weird element that I don't know if it was like scripted dialogue or if it was like actually doing these interviews with the real kids. It was hard to tell. But the stuff that they were saying was just, I couldn't, like, especially at the end, when they're rolling the credits, they just continue to have these recordings that they did with these kids. And I feel like it's real recordings and not scripted dialogue, but I loved it. It was absolutely fantastic and unexpected. So my number eight is Pig. And I am so sad that you didn't get to see this one yet, peeps.
It's so bad.
Well, the funny thing is, like, when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, another crazy Nick Cage movie. And everyone was like, this is John Wick, but with a pig instead of a dog. And I was just like, okay, it's going to be over the top action, totally ridiculous. And one of our
I wish it was John Wick with a pig instead of a dog. That would have been such a better movie.
So the funny thing is, though, like, our buddy, we have a Red Dragons Radio buddy on Twitter. His name's Mike, who's a Nick Cage super fan. And I was getting a little deluded with everything that Nick Cage comes out with. He's like, it's amazing.
Yeah, best movie ever, 5 stars.
This movie's gonna suck. But like, I kept seeing not only him talking about it, but like all kinds of people were rating it so high, except for Don. Don's like,
all the film snobs.
Yeah. Pretty much.
All the film snobs.
But I watched it and it blew me away. Oh my gosh, it's such a cool story. And I was rolling my eyes at this concept of John Wick with a pig, and I got something completely unexpected, and it couldn't have been better for me. I think this movie is 10 times better because it wasn't John Wick with a pig.
That's all I wanted.
I'm talking like stellar performance from Nick Cage. I don't think I've seen him perform as good. And I highly recommend watching it. It is a slow burn. There's minimal dialogue. There's not a whole lot true. And there's not a whole lot that actually happens, but no. Oh my gosh.
See, what is... you say things that just makes me question,
right?
But
But right? What's there is
so much fun.
So good.
No, nothing happens. It's fun, so much fun.
Fun isn't the word. If I said, I don't think I said fun. If I said fun, then I was wrong. It's not a fun movie, but it is a good movie. It is a great movie. And I absolutely loved it. Number seven. I don't know if this is going to, I think we talked earlier, Don. I don't think you're going to have this on your list. I'm counting it. And that's Zack Snyder's Justice League. I have included this on my list because it did come out in 2021 and because it was so drastically different than the original Justice League. So I went ahead and included it, thinking that, you know, it deserved to be on this list because to me, I hated the first version of Justice League. Like, I literally disliked that movie. I will never watch it again. And this one, I thoroughly enjoyed, and I've just felt it was so much better on so many different levels. And again, even though it is kind of a movie from a couple years ago, because of it had enough of a difference of it, I thought that I should include it on this list. Right. And that brings me to number six, which is Will Smith's King Richard. This one did the movies as well as HBO Max release. I thought this was fantastic. I remember seeing the trailer thinking just by watching the trailer, I was like, that movie's going to make me cry my eyes out. And it didn't disappoint. You know, again, the acting that Will Smith does is just.
Is that with the Serena and.
Yes. Venus? Yeah. Yes, okay. Exactly.
I haven't seen that one either.
Oh my goodness, it's so good. And it's nice to see, you know, when we see like the heroes of our time, you know, and these rock star, superstar athletes, they make it look so easy. And you just look at them and say, you know, oh, it'd be so nice to be them and to have that skill. But to really break down and kind of see some of the things that they go through, and the struggles and the fight that they have to do every single day to become that, and everything that they've given up and sacrificed to become that, is just amazing. And again, Will Smith is a stellar actor, and it's a shame he doesn't have more accolades for his work. But nonetheless, that made my number six.
All right. I did not get to see King Richard. I'm super bummed about it. I somehow just never got the time when it came out to either see it. I was going to watch it on HBO Max because I knew I didn't really want to go see that one in the theater. But then never even got around to seeing that. And those day and date movies only are on HBO Max for 30 days. And then they get removed. And then you got to wait a couple months for them to try to circle back. So I did not get a chance to see it, but I've heard nothing but great things. So I'm not shocked to hear it on your list. I'll give you this, Friggins. You definitely take the time to see the movies that I could not give a fuck less about. And that's the thing, like there's just certain movies that come out and I see the trailer and I'll be like, I will never watch that as long as I live. You are like, I'm gonna give it a shot. Like, you pretty much give everything a shot. Like when you posted the other day that you watched Spencer, I was like, why the fuck would you waste the time to watch that? Like, like there's just certain movies, like come on, I'm like, I saw Black and White, I shut it off. Like, you know, like I there's certain things I just can't get down with. And I definitely give you props for at least giving pretty much everything a chance and just seeing the way it kind of rolls out. So kudos to you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have to say, in all the years that I've known you, that might be the nicest thing you have ever told me. And my heart is so warm and fuzzy right now. Thank you,
there
sir.
There you go. I was also going to say, I will refrain from the get the fucks out of here tonight because, you know, the thing about these lists, and we do it out of fun, but the thing about these lists too is that, you know, movies are so subjective and they resonate with people in so many different ways that, you know, when somebody is counting down their list, it's like, you know, it is hard to, you know, kind of criticize somebody for liking something or hating something because it just hits on such a different level. So, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the movies you enjoyed the most of the year, you know, we might chuckle here and there, but we should try to not disregard your thoughts for what comes down the pipe. So as well. So, you know, nothing but love. But I mean, that's just the thing with, you know, with movies, it's just so subjective.
And King Richard, like, is that like foreshadowing that we're going to see the Punisher and Deadshot like together in the future or something?
Hopefully. It's all connected.
It is.
All right, so my turn for 10 through 6. And, you know, I kind of went back and I was looking at my 2021 list, and I'm actually pretty spot on with a lot of the movies that I looked forward to last year that I anticipated. Most of the movies, I would say about 7 of the 10, made it actually in my top 10. The funny thing, though, is my number one most anticipated movie last year was F9. And yeah. I saw it made my honorable mentions.
Yeah, that was
and my
shock.
Number two most anticipated movie was The Matrix Resurrections. And that did not make my top 10 either, or my honorable mentions.
Man.
So kind of crazy that my top two actually were the ones that did not make it. And another movie that was in my top 10 was Mission Impossible 7, which got delayed and didn't even come out this year.
That's right.
So we dealt with that a lot last year when we did our list.
It was just your number four as well last year too, right, Friggins? Top Gun?
Yeah, the new Maverick. Yep, exactly.
So he shifted it, I'm sure, to his new list.
And Uncharted. Uncharted was on 21. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had a lot of that last year, and some of it still carries over to this day. So before I get to the top 10, I want to kind of address something Fred brought up in his top 10. One of his movies was the Zack Snyder Justice League. So I struggled with this one.
Me too.
I really, really did, because I know some people are counting it, because like Fred said, it did come out this year. It is basically a drastically movie. Different movie. It's 4 hours long. It's a pretty much no remnant left of the original film. So I get it. And I would never discount anybody saying, you know, like, oh, it's on my list. What I wanted to do is I actually did not include it in my list because I couldn't find the heart to truly count it as a 2021 film, just because it was filmed in 2017. And yeah, I just couldn't count it. But I will say this, that if I was to count it, it'd be my number one movie of 2021.
Oh, nice.
So right there, I just wanted to put that out there. It was already marked down that, yes, if I had counted it, it would have been my number one movie. I love the Zack Snyder Justice League. It was incredible. It's 4 amazing hours that fly by like nothing. I actually turned it on the other day just to show somebody at work. They hadn't seen it yet. And we were talking about Jared Leto as Joker. And I actually put the movie on my phone and just went right to that end credit scene where him, Batman and Joker are talking, and just showed him that scene. And like, and it still is just such a great scene of the, you know, and she said, "When I kill you, and make no mistake, I will fucking kill you." And just,
it's pretty dope.
I love that scene between the two of them, and it was really cool and got him stoked to go home and watch it. So yes, I love that film. So if I was to count it, boom, spoiler alert, would have been number one on the list, but I did not count it. So here is my official top 10. And you might be a little bit shocked. I know I was a little bit shocked at my number 10 because I did not think it was going to make it, but overall, once again, when I look at this list and I look at, usually my top 10 movies are the movies I had the most fun with that I really enjoyed watching, and, you know, maybe something I've seen multiple times this year. So it actually came in at number 10, and that's Black Widow. I really like the movie. It's an MCU film. You know how much we all love the MCU, and it was just cool to see Scarlett Johansson kind of come back after a character was killed. And I think really just because of the ensemble, like David Harbour and Yelena coming in, Florence Pugh, and just a lot of it kind of worked really well as this ensemble, and it had a lot of good heart, and it was just a good little kind of thriller of a movie. So for me, that comes in at number 10.
To me, no. That movie, that's the same thing with the Zack Snyder. Like, that should have came out in, like, 2017. So, like, mentally, I don't consider it. No, I'm just kidding. But you're right. Really fun movie.
Yes. My number 9 is The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. I love this movie. It was so much fun. I saw this in the theater. I laughed my ass off. Ryan Reynolds coming back, Samuel Jackson, and Salma Hayek having a bigger role in this, and she's so fantastic in this movie. I loved it so much more than the first film. I just thought, like, the humor was on point. I love the action in it. It was so funny. And I just had a really good time with it. I remember leaving the theater with a massive smile on my face, just being like, man, I was entertained for 2 hours. That was great. So it really stuck with me. And The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard comes in number 9.
Nice. I think that's my version of Pig for you. Like, I hated it. I thought it was whack and really? Boring. Oh my gosh, it was so predictable. Boring? Oh, I look. I couldn't care less. Just watch a
black and white movie with no dialogue. Fair, fair.
With no doubt, a pig where not much happens.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I could. Okay. I was just like so bored. Anyway.
Hey, man. Hey, then once again, subjective. Number 8 for me is another movie I had a blast with. It's actually a Netflix original film, but I was able to see it in the theater on a big screen. And hell yeah, it kicked ass. Army of the Dead. Get the fuck out of here.
That was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Dude, so good. I loved Army of the Dead. Zack Snyder, baby. Love Zack's style. And I'm so glad I got to see this on the big screen because I don't know if it would have had the same effect for me just watching it at home. But seeing it on that big screen, seeing the zombies and Batista and all the action and just gore and just everything, you know, Zach knows how to make a zombie movie. I love Dawn of the Dead. And I was so happy to see him kind of back in this world. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I thought the ensemble was great. I thought all the characters were great. And it was a fun, fun time for me at the theater. So Army of the Dead comes in at number 8. Yeah. Number 7. Is a movie Peeps had kind of mentioned earlier. He didn't get to see it, but it was on his list of things he wanted to see. And I had so much fun with this. And it's another one we watched at home because it was an Amazon original. And that's The Tomorrow War. Chris Pratt, futuristic sci-fi movie. People come from the future. Hey, man, we got this alien war going on. You need to come with us. And they recruit people from 2021 to go to like 2052 and go fight these aliens to save the world. And man, this was another one that was just super fun. I love sci-fi. I love when they tie it in with great action, when they have good humor with it. And of course, with Chris Pratt leading this, it had all of that. The ensemble was really good as well. I love the action in it. The aliens were super cool. I love The Tomorrow War. So that comes in at number 7. And then my number 6 is one that I was surprised that it made Peeps list. And it definitely slid in on mine, too, when I actually looked at everything overall, and that's Eternals. So
okay.
Eternals slides in at number 6, another MCU entry. And it's funny because on my anticipated list, I actually had Eternals at the very end of the list, and I had Black Widow at, like, number 6.
Oh, so
and so it kind of reversed itself.
My Eternals is number 6, just so you know. So. Of my anticipated. Yeah.
Nice. I didn't have Eternals on either. So
yeah. Well, I had Eternals low on the list last year because I didn't know what the fuck it was. So all we knew was it was a Marvel movie. Yeah. So I just knew it'd probably be something pretty cool. And you know, at the end of the day, like I said, when I first kind of started putting the list together, I actually didn't even have Eternals on it. And then as I was scrolling through all my movies of the year, I was like, oh, I forgot Eternals. And then I started to think about it and I saw it twice in the theater and I liked it even more the second time. I'm looking forward to seeing it again when it hits Disney Plus here in another week. And I did have a really good time with this movie. It's different. It flows. It's sci-fi. I did like the ensemble cast. I mean, it really just clicked for me. So, you know, we all know if you listen to our spoiler reviews, I mean, it's still on the kind of lower portion for me on my overall MCU list. But when you look back on the year, I did have a good time with it. So Eternals comes at number 6. So Black Widow at 10, Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard at 9, Army of the Dead at 8, Tomorrow War at 7, and Eternals at 6.
Nice.
All right. So now it's top 5 time, baby. This is where we get into the nitty gritty. So spinning it back around.
Peeps,
what you got?
Are we we're going to all 5 through 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right. Knuckle crack sound. Good crack. Crack.
All right.
This got a little bit difficult this year. As we said that, you know, a lot of movies came out. I missed a lot of them, but the ones I did see and the ones that I really enjoyed, I really enjoyed. So this is rough. But I'm doing my best. So number 5 was my number 2 most anticipated last year for this year. And that was Free Guy. Ryan Reynolds, an AI on a video game. And this movie ended up becoming like a romantic comedy, which I wasn't expecting, but which is fine. Like, you know, it's fine. But like the, again, Ryan Reynolds, right? Like he's one of those for me that you kind of can't go wrong. I love his, just his personality, and that always comes out in all of his movies. And this one, it was great. And there was a little cameo that I wasn't expecting from gosh, what's Step Up name? What's his name?
Magic Mike?
Yes, Channing Tatum. He had a nice little cameo in this movie. Yes, it was great.
He was really awesome.
Good. All the Fox took over Disney, so I'm sure the whole last scene with all the special effects was added.
What stuff the shit that
they threw in there? But then either, I can't remember his name, but from the big bad boss, the other guy, I don't remember what his name was, but you know, big buff Ryan. No, like
oh yeah.
It was
catchphrase.
Catchphrase.
The movie was really fun. And interesting concept, I think, with AI becoming self-aware and literally thinking for itself, just really fun. And again, the addition of the whole love story was fine. Like, not really forced, but it was fine. I was very, very okay with it. But overall, I really had a good time with Free Guy, and I definitely recommend to anybody who hasn't seen it. So I'm pretty sure it might be on at least one of your guys' lists. So I'm sure we'll be hearing it again. Number four. Actually, I'm pretty sure most of these, except for Fred. I know Fred's going to have like Falcon Winter, like, you know, as his number one. But my number four, no shade though. Yeah.
Oh yeah, none whatsoever.
But Falcon Winter. So number four, Suicide Squad. My lord, this movie. I really wish I would have saw this movie, like, you know, with all my boys. Yeah. But like, it was so good. And I was expecting it to be good because of the change in direction, change in cast, and just the overall feeling from the trailer. I knew that it was going to be great, but the level of greatness that I got from this movie, it was far beyond my expectations. Very fun, very great transitions. It was a comic book movie. They were definitely villains, or, you know, they were not heroes. And it was good. It was really good. I really am saddened by the performance that it did, especially comparing it to something like Venom or Let There Be Carnage, where I feel Suicide Squad deserves that level of box office treatment. But again, this was earlier in the pandemic, the post-pandemic, whatever, earlier in the year, so, you know, maybe that.
And it was an HBO Max movie, so right, that hurt it
directly to HBO Max too. Yep. So, but yeah, Suicide Squad, I cannot go, I could go on and on about this, but very fun.
But we gotta move Suicide on. Squad.
Yes. Number three, Shang-Chi. Great movie. We did it. Am I Still in the Air? Actually, we did one about Suicide Squad as well.
Yeah.
But Shang-Chi, all of us were like, or, you know, you and I were super excited about it. Friggins, you know, ended up telling us a little bit later just how much he loved that movie as well. I'm pretty sure, just all in all, like, all of us can, you know, say nothing but good things about this movie and what this movie brought. And that's another big thing about these MCU Marvel movies is, yes, if the movie's good, great. But if the movie brings more into the overall universe of Marvel, it just makes it that much better, because you just set the bar up a couple of levels for the future of the MCU. And this movie did just that. Very fun. Martial arts. Amazing music. Love Simu Liu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Follow him on Twitter as well. He's freaking hilarious.
He's awesome.
So,
and watch Kim's Convenience on Netflix.
Yes.
So good.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
So good.
Yeah. So Shang-Chi, number two.
Okay. See you.
Number two is Spider-Man Far From Home. What? Yeah, yeah, I know.
I expected that.
I was expecting this one to be my number one. This was my number one most anticipated movie.
I know what his number one is now, though.
This movie did things to me emotionally.
And for clarity, you're not referencing Mysterio's Far From Home, but you meant No Way Home, right?
Correct.
Okay.
No. Yes, I am talking about the 2018 movie Far From Home.
Friggins. Well, it wasn't number one, so I wanted to make sure.
Oh, okay. Yes. So. We just did a whole Am I Still in the Air about this one too. Mm-hmm. This movie, man, it is phenomenal beyond all words. But I will say, I think why I put this at number two, because my number one, it didn't require you to watch, you know, five other movies along, actually nine other movies total to get the full effect that the movie is trying to deliver. And you cannot watch this movie by itself and get the full effect. You can appreciate all the great effects and acting and, oh, they're crying. I guess I should cry too, but you know what I mean? But yeah. But for what? But outside of that, I think
that should bring it down in its ranking because of
that. I know, right? I do because I just that's yeah fair. Yeah that's I, fair. I do okay. Yeah right. So yeah but yeah and also you know in terms of movies me and my you know family watch my number one you know that's kind of why it takes the cake so I'll get to that in a little bit but yeah Spider-Man No Way Far From Home coming. Was my number two.
Nice.
Number one is what?
I think I know.
I know too.
Yeah. So
is there a Wii View coming up?
It's a Wii View that is out today. If you want to check out the People's Forum at the People's Forum, just Google the People's Forum, you'll find it. Two E's on People's. But that is Radio. The Mitchells versus the Machines. This movie. I get it, and I understand those of you that don't like animated, and I understand those of you that don't like family films. I get it. You don't have to like this movie.
But hey, I don't like animated. It was in my honorable mention, so give me some credit.
That's true.
You get the credits. I'm not talking to you, Don. I'm talking to Mr. Peanut Butter Falcon. No.
Hey, why you keep bringing that up? You got Mitchell's vs. Machines is your number one.
Oh, best movie. Like, this better movie, Spider-Man. Man, like... It goes and it like there. There's Easter eggs like out the chain in this movie. There's actually like a little mini game. Like if you want to take the time and learn the robot code, like there is code in this movie for that. Like the director Mike Rianda, like he did the oh my gosh, what's that show? Gravity Falls show. And Friggins knows how that show is from other people that he's heard. And they got the same kind of thing in this. But the humor, like this movie is funny from start to finish. Same animation studio that did Into the Spider-Verse. So the animation's on point. The action is on point. The music is on point. And the thing that I love is just the story and how it unfolds. Lots of setups, lots of payoffs. Nothing just happened. Well, yeah, things just happen. But
lots of things
most of the things that happen in this movie is for a reason, and it kind of it you know they follow up on that later on, and yeah, just a lot of fun. I spent 35 minutes talking about how much I like this movie on my review. So this movie, we watched it over and over last year. We just watched it like 4 hours ago, and we were still cracking up. Not just as hard as we were the first time. We stopped breathing a couple times the first time we watched the movie, but we were all still. And again, when I think of movies that I enjoyed, like this movie is the one movie in our household that everybody can agree on. And those of you that's in a house full of folks, like that's kind of difficult. Like, hey, do you want to watch this? No, I want to watch this, but yeah. I want to watch this. This movie, one person mentions it. Yep. We good? All right, well, let's watch it, you know? And it was a great film that I was able to enjoy multiple times, and I still to this day enjoy it. So if you haven't seen it, Mitchell's versus the Machines, it is dope.
And Netflix, baby.
I love how, you know, film can do this type of thing. I mean, you talk about like part of the reason it's won is because of that family experience. And, you know, I think back of movies that I watched with my whole family and there's only a couple. Like, you know, Tombstone is something that my entire family, from my dad to my sisters and I, watched together. And that brings me such like this additional feeling on top of a movie being good. So not only is this like your number one for that experience that you're sharing with your family, but I can tell you right now, like that's going to stick with them forever. And that's an extra layer of the beauty of film.
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so. Beauty
of film. Well said, friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great movie though. Like I said, I think one of my daughter's favorite movies of the year. It'd be in her top five for sure. I don't know. I don't think it was her number one, but close. Close.
Good movie.
You should never do a top five to, or a top
I know,
10.
So I know. I actually asked her last night because I thought I predicted it would be Mitchell's versus Machines because I don't think there was any other movie she watched as much of last year. But she just saw Sing 2 and she said that one was her favorite of the year. So, yes. So there we go. But all right. So there's the top five, baby. So moving on over, Friggins. I'm excited to see what you got.
Here we go, peeps. You and I actually had a couple of them in the exact same spots. And that Ooh. Starts with number five for Free Guy.
Nice.
You know, I know Free Guy was a kind of a little bit of a roller coaster for me because when I first heard about it, all I saw was the poster. And I was like, I'm not watching anything about that because I just want to watch it. Like, I'm going to avoid all the trailers. And then I got stuck in movies where the trailer came up and the next thing you know, like they had like 10 trailers. And the next thing you know, I felt like I saw the whole movie.
And then Deadpool and Korg had a reaction video.
Yeah. And I had to watch best. That. That was the best. And I go to the theater and everything they showed in the trailer, surprisingly, was like only in the beginning of the movie. So that was one thing I was super grateful for is they didn't ruin the movie, you know, with the trailers, even though I thought they did before I went in to watch it.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was a romantic comedy.
Yeah. And then the rom-coms is my jam. So like that helped to make it better. It had Ryan Reynolds, which helped to make it better. It had wonderful cameos that you mentioned. I lost my mind when I heard Hugh Jackman voice. You know, it was like
Rock's voice,
Wolverine. I didn't really care
about that. Was like, yo, it's the Rock, he's the bank robber.
That's funny. And then like, you know, and
wait,
and
the overall, Rock was the bank robber?
Yeah. Everybody get down on the ground. It's the Rock.
Dude.
Yeah, so it's cool to see all those cameos. And of course, the additions of the little marble like weapons, so it's really, really fun. All in all, it was just a super fun movie that blew me away. I would not have expected it to be on my top 10 at the end of the year, but as soon as I watched it, I was like, man, this might be number one. Now of course a couple of things came out and beat it along the way, but that makes my number five. Again, same as Peeps, my number four is The Suicide Squad.
I love when we do this.
I know, me too. And you know, there's only three of all of the movies I saw this year for 2021 releases, there's only three of them that I watched more than once, and Suicide Squad is one of those. I watched Suicide Squad twice, and this movie was way more fun than it ever deserved to be. It had so much for it that it has the like twists and turns, the unexpected deaths, the unexpected betrayals, and the team ups, and the comedy, and the action, and the violence, and the gore, and the curse words, and the rated R, and putting a team together. Like all those things are things that I enjoy, and so it was really cool to see it all thrown together with some characters I knew and some characters I didn't know. I thought James Gunn did an excellent job of putting all these things together for us and have just a really fun, ridiculous action flick.
But you're not excited about Peacemaker. Make me so mad.
I am not. Because James Gunn made me hate Peacemaker so much. But
who's Milton?
We'll find out. No, we won't. Because anyway, so
he's been here with us this whole time.
Oh, I thought you were Milton. Anyway, real quick little tidbit, and then I'll move on to the next one. But
when I was rewatching it on HBO Max at home, I got curious as to how many people Harley Quinn killed in her escape scene. And I literally started counting the bodies. And there was a couple of them that I thought, they probably.
Yeah, she stabbed one guy in the foot. So I think
right, okay. Right. So I didn't count that guy. And like one guy just got hit in the head really hard. So I was like, maybe he's got a concussion. So I didn't count. But of all the ones that were for sure deaths, I don't remember now because I didn't write it down, but I know for sure it was more than 40 people in that one scene.
Wow. Go Harley.
Yeah.
And then there was like even like 300 more like at the end of the movie. Like,
That was just a breakout. Yeah. But I never liked Starro, and they made me like Starro. And it was just an amazing experience to see Starro on a live action, big screen movie. So never thought I'd see that. Wanted
to see the stars.
So sad. Make him sad too. Jeez. But that was my number four. Number three. Three and two was a tough battle for me. But alas, we are here. Three and two are the movies I watched the most this year out of repetition. And number three is Mortal Kombat. I watched it three times. And Mortal Kombat is my favorite game, franchise.
I thought you said it was an honorable mention. It's number three?
No, he did.
Oh, I was sorry. I could have sworn you said it was an honorable mention.
No. It's my number three. I absolutely.
Wow. Number three?
Love
Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
Over. Come on.
Get over here.
Suicide Squad?
Look, I got to tell you, the opening scene of Mortal Kombat where Scorpion is fighting Sub-Zero, and that opening scene is one of the coolest fight scenes ever. It was everything I wanted out of a Scorpion and Sub-Zero fight. I love all the characters. They made them look so cool. I had a blast with it. We did a special people's forum where we really gushed about it. Especially me, because I absolutely loved it. I know you had a few problems, probably more than I did, but nonetheless, it hit all those things that I like. Kano was fantastic. I mean,
Kano is a stand-up.
So much good stuff. So that was my number three. Number two, the other movie I saw three times was Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi was a character that I knew almost nothing about. And that's rare for me in the comic world to get a character, particularly from Marvel or DC, that I don't know a whole lot about. And I can remember even as a kid of not really caring much about whatever a Shang-Chi is, because we thought we thought the pronunciation was Shang-Chi. And it wasn't until this that we learned it's Shang-Chi. And I loved this movie so much, guys. It was...
I explained it was Shang way before the movie came out.
So. I'm saying like historically, like
way before,
you know, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years ago. That's right. Sure. But amazing action, great storytelling, heartfelt moments, you know, and one of the bigger surprises for me was how much I liked the bad guy. Wen Wu steals the movie for me, and peeps will tell you I'm not usually the bad guy fan. I almost never like the bad guy, and I loved Wen Wu, the actor. I can't think of his name right now at the top of my head, but he is amazing, and I wish he was in so much more stuff. And the design, the everything about him just completely stole the show for me. So absolutely love Shang-Chi. So much fun. And that brings me to number one. And I did not have any expectation that this film would be my number one. In fact, on my most anticipated list, it was my number five most anticipated of 2021. Spider-Man No Way Home. I have to say that I like Spider-Man. Spider-Man is cool. I get excited to see Spider-Man stuff, but Spider-Man is not my favorite character. I don't get like super excited for his stuff. And so I knew I was going to watch it. I assumed I was going to like it, but what I didn't assume was that I was going to love it
freaking love it.
I knew you're gonna love it.
Oh, I did not. I was just kind of like, it'll be cool. It'll be a fun time. Mm-hmm. It'll be, you know, it'd be neat. But what really caught me off guard were those, you know, those heartfelt moments, those tie-ins,
those hit
to the older ones. I didn't even know that I cared about the older ones as much as I did until they were like bringing things back up. And it was like pulling stuff from my past. And like, it was like, oh yeah, I really did like those when I was younger. Oh man, that really hurt. You know? Oh man, that's like that redemption story. Great job. That's awesome. So it gave me all these different positive emotions going through it. And then of course it, you know, hits you with other things that happen and just breaks your heart, and then, you know, heals it back up, and then it breaks it again and it heals it back up. And just that roller coaster of emotions was so unexpected. And, you know, obviously, like, you know, the big bads, and it was super cool. And as Peep said, we did a whole episode discussing and breaking it down. I think it's like almost 2 hours long. So go check that out if you want to hear more discussion on that one. But that is my number one. Unexpectedly taking that number one spot was Spider-Man swinging in there and swooping it up.
And I think it's crazy how that movie is, like, for people I know, it's causing a lot of people to want to see every other Spider-Man movie that has came out up until this point.
Yes, yeah.
Folks are like, yo, so this movie made me want to watch this, and I've watched all of this. So it's like, man, they're getting all this, you know, love from movies, 10, 20 years ago? And
I had the feeling like at some point, like, because everyone's been calling about the old Spider-Man films and referencing that, and it's just like people used to say this movie sucked, and now everyone's outright trying to watch it, and like now there's all these people defending this movie and that movie, and like it's so cool how it had such a positive impact to the franchise.
I've defended Amazing Spider-Man from jump. DX will attribute to that. So
I like the first one, but not the
second. I mean, it's so very true. I mean, on New Year's night, my daughter asked to watch Spider-Man 2 because she wanted to see where Otto came from.
Oh, cool.
And then we watched the first Amazing Spider-Man because she wanted to see where the other Spider-Man came from. Because I had already shown her the first Tobey Maguire one, so she was familiar with him, but she wasn't as familiar with Andrew Garfield. We did watch Amazing Spider-Man 2 about, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago. And she doesn't remember much about it. She remembered Electro a little bit, but we literally watched Spider-Man 2 and Amazing Spider-Man back to back on New Year's night.
That's
cool. Cause I let her stay up to midnight. And that's what I'm saying. That's what's so cool is that because of Spider-Man No Way Home, she was like interested to see, like, I want to see this. Cause I set it up like it was this multiverse thing that, I could show you movies from this other universe that has these other Spider-Man, you know? And, it makes it make more sense, you know, when you see No Way Home. So, I love that it's creating that. I mean, you see the fever. I know, you know, me and Fred are always on Twitter, and like there's so much like, give me Amazing Spider-Man 3 now, and everybody's like, did they push Morbius back so they could get Andrew Garfield to pop up in a cameo and like all this stuff? And it's just like, man, like the fever is hot right now. So absolutely love it. All right, guys, well, hey, let's jump into my top five. And the funny thing is, so you know, Fred had a lot like Peeps, and I have a lot like y'all too, and several in the same spot.
I thought so.
Other than my number five, so this is where both of you will be like, get the fuck out of here. But once again, just the enjoyment level, and you know how I feel. Number five for me is Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Venom. You know, I had a blast with this movie, Eddie. It's just fun, man. I love the dialogue. I love the connection between Eddie and Venom. And seeing Carnage on the big screen is something my young heart has always wanted to see on the big screen. And seeing that come to life, you know, I thought Woody Harrelson was great. It's cheesy, but it's fun. It's got good action. And I had a blast with this film. I saw it 2 times in the theater and just really loved it. Bought it on VOD the second it came out. Watched it again when I bought it. Just really big blast for me. So that comes in at number five.
Tomato. Tomato.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
I think I enjoy hearing you guys talk about it and quote it more than I enjoyed the movie. So I appreciate your enthusiasm.
There you go. There you go. It was my number 7 most anticipated movie on last year's list, and it came in at number 5. So good job. Cool. My number 4 exactly lines up with y'all. It is The Suicide Squad.
Wow.
So nice. Pretty funny that it's number 4 for all of us. This was my number 5 most anticipated movie. So very close on the anticipated list from last year. Suicide Squad was fantastic. I mean, James Gunn, we already had faith from Guardians, and we were like, man, he's really good with these ensemble films, and he gets to run with an R rating in the DC world. And from the second this movie starts and bodies start dropping, you're just like, here we go. And I just loved it. I loved all the characters. I loved the humor. I loved the style. I loved everything. And I am looking very forward to Peacemaker, which debuts in about a week on HBO Max. So check that out. But yeah, what can I say that hasn't been said already? This movie is fantastic and really holds up. I've seen it multiple times. And so glad I went and saw it in the theater, obviously, instead of just watching an HBO Max at home. It was a joy. So Suicide Squad comes in number 4. Number 3, another movie that's been mentioned a couple times, and that is Free Guy. So Free Guy is number 3 on my list. So I have it a little bit higher than the rest of y'all. Okay. But man, this was my first 5-star movie of the year. You know, I was like, this movie came out in August. And I remember being like, man, what a year that we've had no 5-star movie up to this point. And I didn't expect that it would be Free Guy. I mean, I was looking forward to it. It was number 8 on my list from last year. And I knew it'd be good. I love the trailers, love Ryan Reynolds. I was like, this is going to be, it's a really cool concept. Did not have any idea I would enjoy it as much as I have. This is another one that we saw a couple times in the theater. I bought it. We watch it all the time at home. I've caught my daughter watching this on her own a couple times. She loves it to death. You know, like every time Ryan Reynolds pops up now, she's like, hey, it's Free Guy.
Oh boy.
That's awesome.
Because she's too young for Deadpool. So he's going to be Free Guy for a while.
Yeah, she watched the Christmas one, right? Or that Once Upon a Time.
You know, I never even thought about that. I think it's still probably a little too much, but
probably, yeah.
You know, maybe in a couple of years. But yeah, this movie's fantastic. It was such a breath of fresh air. It's an original IP that's not a sequel. It's something fresh. I love that it was inside like this Grand Theft Auto type world. It's hilarious. It does have heart. I thought Jodie Comer was great. I thought Taika Waititi was awesome. I thought all the characters that popped up in this thing were fantastic. So Free Guy comes in at number 3. Number 2, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Of course.
So this was my number 10 most anticipated movie of my list last year. So barely made the list last year because I didn't know who the hell he was. And I just, again, was like, oh, Marvel film, I'm sure it's going to be good. But man, I had no idea how good it would be. I think I saw this 3 times in the theater. I bought this as well, even though it's on Disney Plus. I still bought it because I got to keep my Marvel collection going. And I love this movie. It just holds up. The action is incredible. I already had loved Simu Liu from, like I said, Kim's Convenience. So like I was so stoked to see what he would do on the big screen as this action hero. Yeah. And he killed it. All the people in this movie killed it. Like Fred said, you know, the villain is one of the best we've seen. You know, Awkwafina, who sometimes can be a little bit too much, was actually just right in the mix. The action, the sci-fi aspect of it, the otherworldly aspect of it, all the little characters and it was such a unique MCU film, and I cannot wait to not only see a sequel, but to see him involved with some other MCU stars down the pipeline, hopefully in another Avengers or something. So Shang-Chi number 2, and of course, number 1, Spider-Man No Way Home. This was easy as slam dunk. As soon as I opened my list, it was just, this movie was the first one added to it and went right to the top. I knew I was going to kind of build from there. And this movie, again, I've seen it 3 times in the theater since it's come out.
Nice.
It's so damn good. I mean, what can you say? Like you said, that hasn't been said. I mean, the nostalgic factor, all the different things that come into it. I love Tom Holland. I love all the Spider-Man films, but this one just takes it up so many notches and really just does something very unique using the multiverse and Doctor Strange and everything to create just such an amazing film. That I cannot wait to watch again. So yeah, this was a no-brainer there. So Spider-Man No Way Home at number one. Good. So yeah, man, our top fives are pretty damn similar.
Yeah, I was surprised to see a lot of the same things landing in there for a change.
Yeah, very nice, very refreshing. So why don't we run it down real quick one more time. Peeps, what is your top 10 completely?
All right, starting from 10, it's Eternals. Number 9 is The Protégé. Number 8 is Malignant. Number 7 is Godzilla versus Kong. Number 6 is Cruella. Number 5 is Free Guy. Number 4, Suicide Squad. Number 3, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Number 2, Spider-Man something 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 Home. And number 1 is The Mitchells versus The Machines.
Holla. Friggins, what's your full top 10?
Well, I have number 10, In the Heights. Number 9, Come On, Come On. Number 8, Pig. Number 7, Zack Snyder, Justice League. Number 6, King Richard. Number 5, Free Guy. Number 4, The Suicide Squad. Number 3, Mortal Kombat. Number 2, Shang-Chi. And number 1, Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Holla. All right. And, number 10 for me, Black Widow. Number 9, Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Number 8, Army of the Dead. Number 7, The Tomorrow War. Number 6, Eternals. Number 5, Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Number 4, The Suicide Squad. Number 3, Free Guy. Number 2, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. And number 1, Spider-Man No Way Home. If I had included Zack Snyder's Justice League, that would have been number 1. But yes, for this list, Spider-Man No Way Home is a number 1. So nice. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the top 10 of 2021. So we're going to switch gears here. This part of the show will move a lot faster because we don't know anything about these fucking films other than that we are anticipating them. So we're going to start once again going roundtable here on some honorable mentions. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I thought 2022 is stacked. And as I was going through, I was like, ooh, that movie looks good. Oh, that movie looks good. Oh, that movie looks good. And that list just kept building and building and building to where, yeah, there was a lot of anticipated that I just had to kind of slide over. So quickly, my first one is Ambulance. This is a new movie that's coming out. I was supposed to come out in February. I believe it just got pushed to April. But it's the new Michael Bay film with Jake Gyllenhaal and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, where they are guys from the military and one's down on their luck and they need money for a surgery and they end up going to rob a bank to get some quick money. And of course, all hell breaks loose and we go on a chase and they hijack an ambulance and we're off to the races. So I think it looks great. I'm a big Michael Bay fan. I love what he does. I love the action stuff. So Ambulance is one of my most anticipated. Uncharted is my next one. This comes out in February. Tom Holland, Mark Wahlberg, based on the video game. I think it's just going to be a fun ride. So Uncharted makes most anticipated. Next one's a very odd one that I did not think would make the list. And then the trailer came out and I loved it. Speaking of Nicolas Cage, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. This movie looks batshit crazy. He plays himself. Mandalorian himself, Pedro Pascal, plays a character who literally pays him like a couple million dollars to like hang out with them one day and all the hell they get into. And it looks so good, especially if you watch the Red Band trailer. I can't wait to see this. Wow. So The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent looks awesome. Next up is Top Gun Maverick. This looks great. This should have came out like 2 years ago. Then it was came out last year and here we go again. So hopefully we'll get to see this film this year. I think, you know, Tom Cruise is on a roll right now and the things they're doing with the jets in this are going to be a badass, especially since he's flying it directly. And once again, these honorable mentions are not in any kind of order. They're just a list kind of jumbled. Next up is Jurassic World Dominion. Love the Jurassic World series. They're bringing back all the original stars for this one. I think it's going to be a fun ride. So Jurassic World Dominion is there. Next up is Nope. This is the new Jordan Peele horror movie. Mm-hmm. And I love what he did with, you know, Get Out and with Us. And I can't wait to see what he does. I know nothing about it, but it's Jordan Peele. Let's go. My next one is The Man from Toronto. This is a new movie starring Kevin Hart. where basically it's an action comedy where he gets mistaken for like a CIA agent that he obviously is not. And we go from there. It just sounds fun. I love action comedies. They're my jam. So I think this is going to be great. Love Kevin Hart. I just want to laugh and see some cool action.
This sounds like North by Northwest, the old classic.
My next one is a movie called Samaritan. And this stars Sylvester Stallone, and it's a superhero movie where he's like an old retired kind of superhero. Nobody really knows he has powers, and he gets kind of sucked back into this world. I heard some early word about some pre-screenings, and people are being blown away by this thing, and I can't wait to see what they do with it. I know nothing but the premise, and I'm stoked. So Samaritan is on my list. Morbius, I kind of threw in there. We were looking forward to it last year. I figured, what the hell, still looking forward to it, even though now I gotta wait even longer till April to see this one. My next one is The Gray Man. This is a new Netflix movie that's coming, directed by the Russo brothers, that's gonna have Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans playing spies going against each other. And I just know this is gonna be fucking incredible. And that it's gonna be a Netflix original film. I love the Russos, obviously did Infinity War and Endgame. These guys know how to make action. And Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling, let's go. This is going to be awesome. And lastly, this almost made my top 10, but slid in at the very end. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1.
What?
I am looking very, very forward to it. You know how I feel about animated, so I couldn't quite crack the top 10. But it is there. I'm looking very, very, very forward to it. So there you go. That's my honorable mentions. Peeps, what you got?
Oh my God. Okay. I know. Why you gotta call me first? I gotta come back. All right. That I did not know about Nope until right now. And now that made my anticipation. I'm now excited about that. Another film I just discovered this week that's coming out. It's called Dark Harvest. It's a horror movie. Creepy looking poster to it, and it's directed by a dude named David Slade. He did Hard Candy and 30 Days of Night. Just for that art and director, I am interested in. So yeah, Dark Harvest. There is also the Mario film. That voice cast that was announced, I watched that live. That was nuts, and I kind of want to see that. So
it's a me, Chris Pratt.
It's me, Chris Pratt.
I'm DK Donkey Kong.
That's Seth Rogen. Sorry.
Yeah.
Y'all know how I feel about Hotel Transylvania. That's on my anticipated list.
But it's not Adam Sandler. It makes me so sad.
Womp womp. The rest of my movies are just animated. Turning Red
looks great.
That looks great.
I finally saw that trailer. Yeah.
Werewolf awesome. Meets like cute Disney panda.
Exactly. Incredible Hulk with a cute panda.
I don't know if this is going to be theatrical or not, but if it is, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Are you serious?
Okay.
I am excited about that.
I did not know about this.
Chip and Dale growing up, and I will watch the heck out of this movie and force my littles to go.
I am singing the song in my head right now. So
I think it's a Disney Plus movie. Which is fine.
You still, it on your it's list. Still a 2022 yeah. release.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Cruella, right? That was a theater.
Sometimes some crimes go slipping through the cracks. So, you know, these two gumshoes, you know, go
hey man, these days, slack. Movies are movies, don't matter where it's playing.
Yeah. And there is apparently like a Bob's Burgers movie coming out. And I love the show. I got to see this movie. So, that's it for my honorable mentions.
All right. Friggins, what you got?
Well, I was scrambling.
Sonic 2.
Oh, yes.
There you go. Looking forward to that too.
You kept going down. I was just expecting you to say like all of the other movies coming out are my honorable mentions. So for me, this one might actually surprise you guys that this is on an honorable mentions list, but that's John Wick Chapter 4.
Doesn't come out this year.
I had it on the 22 list.
Pushed it back to 23.
Now, see, they keep pushing crap. So scratch that.
Would have been on my top 10, but
take Gambit off of your list too.
Okay, let me take that one off too.
Gambit gets shifted.
Well, then I'll move on to MI7. I'm a big fan of the Mission Impossible franchise. Unfortunately, though, there's just a lot of good stuff coming out this year, so it didn't quite make the final 10 anticipated list. The Buzz Lightyear
new movie coming out, man, when I saw the poster alone, I was like, yes, I cannot wait to see this. And the addition of one of the Chris's as the main voice, I think that is super cool. You gotta love that, Chris. And I'm busting out laughing just thinking about this. Now, you guys probably know that usually like kind of comedy focused films don't usually make my list. You know, it's not my favorite genre. Sure. But I just saw trailer for this movie with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum called The Lost City. Oh my God. I was cracking up in the theater with this trailer and I am so excited for this one. Uncharted was on my top 10 list, but literally moments ago just got booted and is now on my anticipated list. And I will tell you shortly. And one movie that I know absolutely nothing about, but just the cast and the description has me super excited. It's called Don't Worry, Darling. And when I read the description, it says like,
yeah, this is another one that Don's given.
No, it's not black and white, but it's an upcoming
American is this the Olivia Wilde one?
Yes, it's directed by Olivia Wilde.
It's got Yelena on it,
but yeah, that's what I was gonna say. When you I love her the cast, it's got Florence Pugh, Olivia Wilde, Chris Pine, Gemma Chan, Harry Styles, and it goes on. So it looks great, just from what I'm checking out on the initial things. I can't wait to see
it. It reads great.
That's what I should say.
Because you haven't seen it. True.
The words look really great. And that will wrap up my anticipated list.
Okay. All right. Well, this time, for time's sake, we're going to just run through our full top 10. Because like I said, we don't have much to dive into because we haven't seen it. So we're just going to kind of mention our titles and move along. So I'm going to kick us off this time. Coming in number 10, I'm very excited for this movie. And once again, it's one of these ones, haven't seen anything for it. So I'm going off cast, I'm going off director, and just the idea of it. And this is a movie called Bullet Train. Bullet Train comes out later this year with Brad Pitt. It's directed by David Leitch, who helped with directing the first John Wick movie. He directed Deadpool 2. He directed Hobbs and Shaw. This guy knows action, and this is going to be a badass action assassin movie that all takes place on a train. And it's a bunch of assassins trying to kill each other. Brad Pitt, Sandra Bullock pops up in this, Zazie Beetz. There's a bunch of people that are in this thing. One of the guys from The Raid. I mean, it's just this thing's stacked. And I just have full faith that this is going to be an incredible action movie. One of the best of the year. So Bullet Train comes in at number 10 for me. Number 9 is Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Don't know what to think about this one just because we lost Chadwick Boseman. We know that we're not going to have T'Challa in this, and I'm just curious to see how they're going to pivot and where the story is going to take us because that's been so hush-hush. So I'm curious, but I have faith in Ryan Coogler coming back and directing. It's Marvel once again, so I'm curious to see what they will present us. So Black Panther Wakanda Forever comes in number 9. Number 8 is a movie that was on last year's list, got delayed. Fred mentioned it in his honorable mentions. It's Mission Impossible 7. I am so excited for this. I love the Mission Impossible movies, and they're just getting better and better and better. And from everything I'm hearing about 7, it's going to be batshit crazy again. Awesome stunts. Man, this thing, I'm so excited. I know it's going to be fantastic. So MI7 is number 8. Number 7 is Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. This is obviously Aquaman 2. I love the first Aquaman movie. It was such a fun film. And I know, James Wan is back. Most of the cast and crew from the first movie is back. And I have a feeling he's just going to make, I mean, we got all the setup out the way. He is Aquaman now, and we're just going to go for it. And I just have a feeling he's going to do something really, really cool with this one. So Aquaman, the Lost Kingdom is number 7. Number 6 is The Batman. So we have the new Batman movie coming out. It comes out in March, on March 4th, directed by Matt Reeves, Robert Pattinson stepping into the cowl. We got Penguin, we got Riddler, we got Catwoman. The trailers have been phenomenal for this film, even though I'm still not the biggest fan of Robert Pattinson's casting. I'm on more of a wait and see. I have loved what I've seen so far from the trailers. I have no doubt this movie is going to be really incredible. It looks like this almost like serial killer seven type movie, but in a Batman skin. And that gets me super excited. So the Batman comes in number six. Number five is The Flash. I'm so excited for The Flash because we finally get Ezra Miller doing his solo movie. We have Flashpoint. We got multiverses. We got time traveling. This is where we're going to say goodbye to Ben Affleck's Batman. We're going to get Michael Keaton's Batman back. We got Supergirl coming in. We got Evil Flash. We got all kinds of stuff going down and a bunch of other surprises. Directed by Andy Muschietti, who did the two It movies. He's an awesome director, and I cannot wait to see what The Flash does for the whole DCEU as a whole. So that comes in number five. My number four is Black Adam. Love The Rock, one of my favorites ever. This is a movie that is a massive passion project for him, and he got in like the most incredible shape that he's ever been in to be able to wear this suit and not use any padding or anything in it. They're using new technology for special effects. It just looks badass. If you watch the clip that they did at DC Fandom, you see it's violent. I mean, he was turning people to dust, and it just, I just have a feeling this is going to be an incredible film, and I can't wait to see this character brought to life. Number three, Avatar 2. Looking so forward to this film. Avatar is, the first one is one of my all-time favorite films. I loved Avatar. I saw that probably six times in the theater, especially in 3D. It was just such a unique film that really took technology to another level. Such a beautiful film. And James Cameron's been working on this damn thing for like the last 10 years. So I know he's going to bring the big guns when he does. And I know a lot of the sequel takes place underwater on the world of Pandora. And he also, again, created new technology to do these underwater scenes. And I know he's going to blow us away when this thing comes out. I can't wait to see a trailer, and I can't wait to see what he does and journey back to Pandora. So Avatar 2 is my number three. Number two is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. After seeing Spider-Man No Way Home and then seeing the little trailer that they played in the after credits scene, holy crap, we got Sam Raimi stepping in to direct. This movie we know is going to be batshit crazy. Not only do we have the multiverse, not only do we have Wanda being back as Scarlet Witch, I think there's going to be a lot of surprises in this film because we're dealing with the multiverse. I think we're going to see some really cool stuff that we are just not ready for. And that makes it jump up on my list higher than I normally would have placed the Doctor Strange film. But I just have such a feeling that we're going to have that same kind of Spider-Man
excitement
coming out of like, can you believe
rumors of people showing up?
Oh my God, dude, from all the
people denying they have anything to do with it. Yeah.
Oh God. So excited. And my number one is Thor, Love and Thunder. I am so overly excited for this film. This is the fourth Thor movie. We got Chris Hemsworth coming back. We got Natalie Portman coming back as Jane. She's going to become Lady Thor in this. We got Christian Bale as the villain. We're going back with Taika Waititi, who just created one of my favorite all-time Marvel movies, which was Thor Ragnarok. I know this is going to have like an 80s feel. I love what I've seen from the visuals so far of the concept art. We know we got the Guardians of the Galaxy in this thing too. This movie I just know is going to be next level. And for me, this was a slam dunk when I started making my list. I knew Thor would be at the top. He's one of my favorite Marvel Avengers, Marvel heroes. And I love how he's just gotten better and better with every movie. And I have no doubt this one's going to be just next level awesome. So Thor, Love and Thunder is my number one. So real quick, number 10, Bullet Train. Number 9, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Number 8, Mission Impossible 7. Number 7, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Number 6, The Batman. Number 5, The Flash. Number 4, Black Adam. Number 3, Avatar 2. Number 2, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And number 1 is Thor, Love and Thunder. So peeps, passing the baton. What you got? Top 10, baby.
Excellent. Wow. Well, just like you, I have one movie that doesn't have any cinematic connections and everything yeah. else isn't. So, and that will be my number 10. a movie I knew nothing about until I saw the trailer. Trailer looks really funky, and it's that studio that you were just knocking a little bit ago on for Friggins.
I think I know.
A24.
Everything, Everywhere. Yes, I knew it. That movie, man.
If y'all haven't seen the trailer, fuck is this?
Watch the trailer.
Confusing.
So confusing. So interesting. I really have to watch this movie. So yes, that's my number 10. Number 9, The Batman. Echoing everything DX said, I agree. But I don't know. This, which is why it's a little bit lower on my list. I think it's going to be unique, but I kind of wish we would get a Batman movie with a little bit more unique of a villain. And yes, a different type of Riddler. I know that's what we're going to get. Maybe it might be Jim Carrey Riddler. Who knows? But, you know, whatever. But yeah.
You got Penguin in there too.
True. Yeah. And also, I'm sure it's going to be a different type of Penguin too. So we'll see. I don't know if it's going to be grounded or if it's going to be comic booky, but, you know, we'll see. Number 8 was DX's number 4, and that is Black Adam. I'm a little bit confused about what this movie is going to be about. Black Adam in the comics is a straight up villain. He's not really an anti-hero that I know of. So if they're going to paint him to be an anti-hero, cool. I just don't really see how with his comic book story, and DC so far is very comic book accurate. So I'm very curious as to see how they're going to do this. But it's The Rock, like DX said, you know, lots of fun stuff out about it already. So it's going to be a blast, Black Adam. Number 7, The Marvels, which I'm surprised it wasn't on your list.
Because The Marvels got pushed to 2023.
So my number 7 is The Flash.
Rearrange.
Because that wasn't on my list. So I picked number 7 for The Flash because, it could be a game changer for DC. And yes, we already have Shazam, which is an amazing, you know, DC movie. But again, this could potentially reset the whole DC beef that people have out there. So I'm hoping it will do that. So that's why I picked The Flash as my number 7.
Nice call.
Awesome. Yeah.
Number six is Thor: Love and Thunder. Everything DX said, it's going to be a blast. And the fact that they're bringing the God Killer into it, which is a Christian Bale character. Super excited, not expecting to be anything like the comics, but I can't wait to see his design because his design in the comics is nuts. So
yeah,
cool. Number 5 wasn't on DX's list. The Secrets of Dumbledore, the Fantastic Beast third movie.
Yes, never be on
absolutely list. Loved the first one. Didn't really like the second one. It was okay. A little bit disappointed with way things panned out, but I am still pretty excited about this movie. And what it could do, but
more than Thor,
yeah, that's big.
To be determined at a later time. But yeah, when I made this list, we didn't have a trailer yet. Okay, so the trailer would have knocked it down probably a couple notches. It's all about Dumbledore. Like
you had time to adjust.
This didn't happen. We got to go. We got to keep it moving. Number 4 is Wakanda Forever. I would like this to be higher on my list. This was one of my, you know, top favorite Marvel movies. The first one, I should say. Really excited to go back into Wakanda and to see what they're going to be doing with the Black Panther character. But you know, we'll see. There's been a lot of issues with production, so we'll see how things turn out. I hear there's even more reshoots, so we'll see what happens with this one. So we'll kind of
I'm a little afraid this one's not even going to make it this year because they stopped filming because of Letitia Wright's injury, so they've shut down for a couple months and it's already coming out at the end of the year, so I'm just,
and then that's going to push other movies back.
I know, that's going to create that fucking chain again.
We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
My number 3 and my number 2 match yours. So I'll go ahead and say Avatar for my number 2. And my number 3 is Doc Strange. Avatar, exactly what you said. I think I actually saw it 7 times in the theater when it first came out. I still feel like I get that ash in my hair at that scene when the 3D and the ash is coming down. And like, it was so good. Fantastic.
Acting like a baby.
One of those movies I used to take people to, and like one of my best friends, she leaned over to me and said, like, Sean, I think this is my favorite movie of all time, like halfway through the movie. And nice. I'm like, yes, it's such a good movie. I'm so excited about this. And I'm also excited that it's one thing if you're planning sequels, it's another if you're planning and filming sequels simultaneously. And that's what they're doing with this. So I'm super stoked, super excited. And the cast that they have in this, like Michelle Yu and just the other names that are on this, I'm super stoked for. So, yes. And then Doc Strange, come on, Doc Strange, it's going to be nuts. It's literally going to be another No Way Home Spider-Man movie where we're going to have theories, we're going to have rumors, all this stuff's going to be popping up shortly before the movie comes out, and all the actors will be lying about what they're doing or not doing. So don't even bother interviewing them because they're not going to tell you anything. Because
Sir Patrick Stewart, I'm sure you're not
right. Right. Yeah. Just ask Mark Ruffalo. I'm sure he'll spill beans. But and then last, what I'm flabbergasted is my Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1. One of my favorite movies of all time. I am super excited about this. I cannot wait to get back to the Spider-Verse. And in that trailer, the fact that they gave, like, the Prowler's musicals theme in the original one was super dope. But now that Spider-Man 2099 has his own unique musical theme when he showed up, so excited about this one. So Across the Spider-Verse, number one most anticipated. So my number 10 of my 10 is Everything Everywhere is Everything Awesome. The Batman is number 9. The name, but... 8 is Black Adam. 7 was and always will be The Flash. Number 6 is Thor Love and Thunder. 5 is Secrets of Dumbledore, to be later discussed. 4 is Wakanda Forever. 3 is Avatar. 2 is Doc Strange. Number 1 is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Booyah.
Nice.
Well, guaranteeing done, that's going to be my number 1 favorite next year.
Oh, for sure.
Guaranteed.
No doubt.
All right, Friggins, what you got?
All right, so
you match up at all with us?
Not really. I do. I think on
no. Come on, come on, too.
No, come on. It's
still
it's,
come on. In.
Yeah. It's come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. All right. So my number 10 was previously held by Uncharted, but through your description, you said a couple key words. You said the Russo brothers, then you said Ryan Gosling, then you said Chris Evans, and then I pulled up the cast and saw that it also has Ana de Armas, it has Jessica Henwick, Connie, Billy Bob Thornton. I mean, it goes on, and so yes. I am extra stoked for that now. So that stole my number 10 literally. Nice. As look we at were that. Doing this. That
during the recording, see, and then Peeps is over here like, well, I made this list like a month ago before the Dumbledore trailer came out and I couldn't make
it. You can't change it. I don't know.
You can change it. No, you can't change it once it's said, but before it's said, then there we go. So The Gray Man, number 10. Number 9, I have Black Adam. Now I know that's probably gonna upset you. It's a little bit low.
Hey man, made top 10. I'm happy.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna say. It's like I'm not as big of a The Rock fan as you are, so he is cool. Obviously, he just exudes charisma, but I'm hoping that they give him more villainy vibes than I think they're going to. So we'll have to see how it goes.
Did you ever watch that clip?
I did. Yeah. On what do they call it? The DC fandom when that was released. I watched it on that day.
It's pretty villainy, man. He like straight rips the dude's like spine out. Like,
I know. Like, that was
turning really people to dust.
Like dust
is a lot more violent than I assumed it would be.
Agreed. I did not expect to have that level of like, especially for the first clip that they shot, right? Exactly. So I dug that. And I think that's partially why it is on my top 10. Number 8, I have Wakanda Forever. Pretty much the same thing you guys said. The thing about Black Panther is when I first watched it, it wasn't my favorite. I liked it a lot, but it wasn't like my favorite. But literally every time that I rewatch it, it climbs the list and I can't stop rewatching it. And I mean, it just keeps going up and up and up and up. So it makes me really excited to see what they do for the sequel. Number seven, this movie has been on my anticipated list for the last 3 years in a row, so why not have Top Gun Maverick on it again? So I'm going to go ahead and bring that back over here and keep moving, and if it doesn't come out until 2023, it'll probably be on that list too. But you know, as you mentioned, Don, with all the crazy jet stuff he's doing, it just, I can't wait to see what wild things he does. That dude is it's crazy to think that he learned how to fly and all these crazy stuff that he does. So anyway, number six for me is Avatar 2. I'm so happy to see it on your guys' list. You know, there's actually a lot of like hate for the first Avatar.
Very weird.
And I don't understand it, because that movie was so amazing for me. I also saw it in the theater about six times. And I kept dragging people. You gotta go by friends. It's the biggest
box office film of all time.
Exactly.
Saw it like eight times.
Keep taking people. Like, then they re-released a like extended edition, and I went back to the theater to watch that. And I just want to see what James Cameron is going to come up with, because you know he's going to have something crazy.
Underwater, baby.
My number five is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think the fact that it's part one of two actually made it drop for me. When I saw the part one, it kind of made me sad, because oftentimes we have a part one, part two type situation. I feel like I don't get a full story. Like Dune, I think that was part of the reason why Dune was a little bit lower for me. So, you know, I feel like that addition actually brought me down a little bit, but I love Spider-Man 2099, and I'm super hopeful to see a couple other particular Spider-Man join. I kind of have my fingers crossed for a possible the punk Spider-Man. So we'll see if that rockstar punk Spider-Man comes in or not. Number four, I have the Doctor Strange sequel, the Multiverse of Madness. That trailer just got me extra hyped. Seeing the evil Doc Strange and all the other cameos that they threw in that little sneak peek for us at the end of Spider-Man got me super excited. Doctor Strange is a character that I think is growing on me more and more and more. And it's, I just want to see what they're going to do. I'm hopeful that they add a little bit of, I don't want to say horror elements, but like, you know, darker tones with this, like,
that's what they're saying with
the multiverse.
Especially with Sam Raimi.
Exactly. It brings me hope. So we'll see how it ends up turning out, but very excited to see what is going to come of that. My number three is The Flash. You know, you kind of said a little bit of everything. I wasn't expecting to get so excited to see the old school 89 Batman on the screen again, and just seeing the horns, you know, the silhouette of the horns and everything as he like walks out, and hearing his voice, it gave me like goosebumps and chills. And I remember in watching that teaser of The Flash, where right when they're about to pull the cover over the Batmobile, I kept saying like, show me the car. And then they cut, and I'm like, you bastards. But it's funny, because I already know what the car looks like. So, but that Flash is my number three. For me, number two is The Batman. Unlike you guys, I am absolutely loving the vibe of this. I think Robert Pattinson is, the more I've seen of him, he gets kind of looped into the Twilight curse. But the more you watch of his films, the crazy, the way you can kind of see how he can go from one role to another and be completely different people. His acting skills are next level. I mean, every film he's in, he portrays it differently and a different vibe. So I couldn't be more excited to see him play a younger Batman. And I'm glad we're seeing a younger Batman. I'm super stoked for Catwoman. You know, I think she's going to do an excellent job. And as well as the unrecognizable Colin Farrell as Penguin. And I remember years ago hearing about someone like saying, oh, Riddler should be like a serial killer or something, and just thinking how cool of an idea that would be. And I can't believe it actually is making it into film. So I'm all for this darker Batman movie and cannot wait. Bringing me to my number one, which is also, as you, Don, Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yes.
He's going to drop the hammer and it's going to be amazing. But what's going to be even more amazing?
Anymore.
I was just going to say, is what's going to be even more amazing
is Jane dropping the hammer.
The hammer doesn't exist. I'm confused.
Oh, it exists. Oh, yes. It does.
And if you look at the concept art, it looks like it's the exact same hammer that got destroyed because it's all cracked.
It's all cracked and pieced back together. And the cool thing, though, is Jane Thor is one of my favorite new Marvel characters that has been created within the last, like, I don't know, it's like 15 years or something. And I love her so much, and I've been dying to see her on the big screen. So this is something I've just been really, really looking forward to and cannot wait to see her wield this hammer.
You want me to put the hammer down?
Yeah. But just to recap real quick, number 10, the gray man, number 9, Black Adam, number 8, Wakanda Forever, number 7, Top Gun Maverick, number 6, Avatar 2, number 5, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1, number 4, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, number 3, The Flash, number 2, The Batman, and number 1, Thor, Love and Thunder.
Ooh, I'm really sad that none of y'all had Aquaman on your list or even in an honorable mention.
I thought it was going to be on yours.
Yeah. Not me, man. My favorite thing of Aquaman was the Black Manta. So if they had a Black Manta movie, that would have been on
He's
my
list. He's in it, though.
Come That's on. Okay. I'm no looking love. Forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, but just
not even an honorable mention. Jeez. Watch. Y'all going to be like, that was incredible. I can't believe I didn't have that in my top 10.
Number 1 next year.
Hey, we'll see. All right, guys, well, hey, we are going to wrap it up here. It has been a mega episode, as these always are, as we tried to get through literally, you know, 100 movies here between everything that we're talking about, between 2021 and then 2022. I hope you all have enjoyed it, even if it took you, you know, 10 different times to play this, to listen to the whole thing in its entirety. So I appreciate you for listening to the top 10 movies of 2021 and our top 10 most anticipated of 2022. So peeps, where can the people find you?
As always, reddragonsradio.com, or just Google the People's Forum. I'm also on the Twitters. If you want to hit me up, number 4, my peoples, number 4, for my peoples at Twitter. Hit me up, follow me, and I'll follow you. And then you'll follow Friggins, because he'll tell you where you can find him pretty soon. Yeah. But yeah, Spotify, Stitcher, the iTunes, the People's Forum is there. So yeah. And thanks, Friggins, DX, for having me.
Of course, man. Of course.
Yes, thank you. You can find me as a regular guest that pops up here and there on reddragonsradio.com. DX Dominic is kind enough to invite me over to the Am I Still in the Air episodes to do these kinds of fun recordings, as well as my buddy Peeps over here, who also invites me to the People's Forum to chime in on a few various topics here or there. As Peeps alluded to, you can find me on Twitter and also Instagram at Friggins. That's FRIGGINZ, Friggins with a Z, and it's the same for both. Try and make it real easy for you. One other thing, we do some live stream D&D action. If you are into D&D, you can check that out on twitch.tv.com/meadandfriends. And that's about every other Saturday.
Awesome. Make sure you follow the crew and get with it. Once again, you can follow our show at Simply Am I on the Air, all one word. AmIOnTheAir.com is the website. That's where you can find everything you need. Of course, links to all the socials, and all the episodes. So this is Am I Still on the Air? Of course, we have the regular Am I on the Air every single Monday night. Subscribe on all the different social medias. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the platforms. Just search Am I on the Air and follow along for all the fun adventures. So that'll do it for us right here for our big Am I Still on the Air countdown for 2021 and 2022. I hope you all have enjoyed, hit us up on social media. Let us know what you're looking forward to. Join the conversation. I hope it's a great year of film. We are definitely looking forward to a lot of good stuff, and I can't wait for these months to come on and get here real quick. So thanks, everyone. And until next time, y'all, peace. Red Dragons!